Meeting less resistance than anticipated, U.S. forces seized control of Tikrit today, the last stronghold of Iraqi resistance. Marines encountered only small groups of Iraqi fighters as they moved into the center of the city. NPR's Nick Spicer is at U.S. Military Command headquarters in Doha, Qatar. Tikrit is where the last stand of Saddam Hussein's loyalists had been expected. What happened?
Well, Marines made forays into the city yesterday. They really entered this morning. I don't think that what happened can be described as the big last stand some people were waiting for. The Marines fought with units of the Republican Guard on the southern edge of the city, but they were able to quickly cross to the north, where they've taken up positions in the center of the city as well, on a bridge over the River Tigris and on its banks. During this fighting, American jets destroyed what Iraqi tanks were left after weeks of heavy bombing. Many Iraqi armored vehicles were also simply abandoned, we have learned. Brigadier General Vincent Brooks said in his daily briefing today that the Marines took the presidential palace in Tikrit without any resistance, and Brooks said that the taking of this city marked what he called a turning point in the military campaign.
Clearly, we are at a point where the decisive military operations that were focused on removing the regime, destroying its capability, removing its ability to threaten neighboring countries, our coalition forces, or our own countries, that work is coming to a close.
Brooks did say, however, that there would continue to be localized fighting, but he said it would be nothing coordinated. Apart from the impending end to this last major military operation, the taking of Tikrit has, of course, big symbolic value. It was Saddam Hussein's power base. His family clan is from there. About a third of the major leadership figures now being sought by U.S. and British troops are from Tikrit, and Brooks said Marines were trying to establish contact with locals to see if they could help locate some of them.
Now, a member of Saddam Hussein's inner circle was captured on the road to Syria.
And he's precisely one of those people that CENTCOM planners are looking for. They call the list the top 55 of members of Saddam Hussein's government, leaders and ministers. And the man who was captured is named Watban Ibrahim Hassan. News reports say he was hiding in villages in northern Iraq near the border with Syria. He's a presidential advisor and former interior minister, and he's been taken away to an undisclosed location for questioning about information presumably about the whereabouts of Saddam Hussein and his family members, but perhaps also for genetic information because he's Saddam Hussein's half-brother, and CENTCOM people have been making much about using DNA technology to identify Saddam Hussein or his remains because he's been the target of two assassination attempts with missiles and bombs.
And how about the looting in Baghdad?
It appears to be calming down. General Brooks made it clear, certainly, today that providing security was becoming a priority now that a large part of the military work was done. He appeared to be answering calls from NGOs and the Red Cross to improve security, especially in hospitals. And there are reports that things are, in fact, calming down in Baghdad. U.S. Marines patrolling through neighborhoods, and we have reports that that's having an effect on looting, and a report that some 2,000 policemen in Baghdad have answered a call to return to work. This is interesting because before, at Central Command, we were told that using former policemen would not be an option. It appears that there's been a change of heart on that issue.
NPR's Nick Spicer at U.S. Central Command headquarters in Doha, Qatar. Links to NPR's full war coverage and essays by NPR reporters in the region are at npr.org.